Let's open together to Psalm 103, and we shall read from verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Amen. We are going to look at those first verses, and our subject today is a catalogue of some of the tremendous benefits of God, God's benefits. So this psalm shows the nature and vastness of God's blessings. God's blessings to his children specifically. Knowing these and remembering them, David summons himself not to forget to bless his holy name. Let me give you Psalm 103. Some of the people of old have said that it is a tremendous source of encouragement. It's been an encouragement to people through all ages, people experiencing a wide range of difficulties. Possibly it's one of the best loved psalms, apart from Psalm 23. It provides comfort, it provides encouragement to the deepest and the heaviest problems and the heaviest pains in life. I read a remarkable story by the hymn writer Andrew Bonar, and he gives the account that in the days of John Knox, a lady by the name of Elizabeth Adamson, she listened to John Knox's preaching. Her words were, "It opens the fountain of God's mercies more than most others." So she was brought to faith in Christ and found her rest in Christ through this psalm. And she said this, she said, 1,000 years of bodily torment, even that multiplied 10 times more, could not compare with 15 minutes of the anguish that she felt in her soul. And before she died, she asked for the psalm to be read to her once again, saying that it was through this psalm that peace came to my soul. Peace came to my soul. To my troubled soul, I first tasted the mercy of God, a mercy that to her was sweeter than possessing all the kingdoms of the earth. That's what Andrew Bonar penned. And then in Spurgeon's Treasury, he points out Psalm 103 is overflowing with truth. 1,000 pens could not describe its riches. It's one of those wide, one of those wonderful scriptures that seems to hold the whole Bible in seed form. If you could just have one psalm, Psalm 103 would be almost everything that you need. And it could almost furnish the church of the Lord Jesus Christ with a hymn book, songs of praise for every season of life. Then we note that Psalm 103 is Hebrew poetry, or it's Hebrew prose. And let me show you how this psalm is written and how it works. So we read the first sentence in verse 1. And the first sentence mentions the matter that's being addressed. And then that matter is repeated. And then the same matter is illustrated. So we see this matter: bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then that same matter is repeated, but with a fuller language, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And then in verse 2, the same matter is emphasized once again: bless the Lord, O my soul. And then the illustration or the reason or the reminder is given why we should bless the Lord. And the reason is, and forget not all his benefits. So, yeah, David is teaching us. He's been downcast. He's been downhearted. He's been struggling. And he comes to this just remembering and praising the Lord. We see that he gives us such good advice. You know, no doctor will give you this advice. No psychiatrist will give you this advice. This is good advice. This is biblical advice. This is a heavenly prescription. It's a good prescription. And it's a prescription that is given by the physician of souls. So, when everything is going wrong, when you really feel down, when you feel that situations are overwhelming you, when you feel depression attacking your mind, the first thing we need to do, the first thing we need to do is to speak to ourselves, to collect our thoughts together, to summon ourselves to praise. This is what David is saying. Bless the Lord. Come on, my soul. Praise the Lord. The word bless has the literal meaning kneel down. Kneel down. And in this context, it is obviously to kneel before the Lord, to bow down before the Lord, to worship, to praise, to honor, to respect the Lord, to lift up the Lord. Well, we don't lift up ourselves. We lift up the Lord, the most holy name of God, the great one. We lift him up, the self-existent God, the source of all power, the source of all blessing. And then when he thinks of whom he is addressing, he's conscious of the one whom he's addressing. So knowing the meaning of his holy name, David addresses his own soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And we see this not only in this particular psalm, Psalm 103. It's mentioned in other psalms as well, Psalm 42, Psalm 43, we know the words well. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I shall yet praise him. So this psalm 103, it shows us how determined David is to rise up and to praise and bless the Lord. You know, it says, bless the Lord. It says, bless the Lord. These are not vain repetitions. It's not just repeating it. It's not a mistake. It is penned by the Holy Spirit. For the reason, rather, he's showing us that we need to stir ourselves again and again, over and over, to forget not his benefits. To forget not what the Lord has done for us. To forget not this great catalogue of benefits. So beginning with the first benefit is forgiveness. Beginning with forgiveness of iniquities. And this word iniquities, verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. This word iniquities is the worst word that we can use for sin. It means twisted actions. If you call a person twisted, you twisted. You're a perverse person. You're a crooked person. You are a depraved person. Well, this is what it means. This iniquities is speaking of the worst kind of depravity, the worst kind of crooked ways. And David says, stir up, forget not. You see, we hold these benefits too lightly, too loosely. They're so precious and we can forget them so easily. We need to spur ourselves to be aware of the great value of the blessings, the great value. David says, I will call with all that is within me to bless his holy name. It's not going to be half-hearted. I'm going to call with my whole heart, with everything that is within me to bless his holy name. In other words, David is saying, I'm going to stay focused on God's greatness. I'm not going to allow any distraction. He says, come on, my soul, remember all, remember God's greatness, remember the depth of your sin, remember just how perverse and twisted you are, how crooked and broken you are, yet remember the mercy. Remember the mercy, the pardon which God offers, which is present and ongoing and continuous. God forgives all my sin. This is the greatest blessing. This is the first blessing. He removes all my sins. As far as the east is from the west. That's mentioned in verse 12, by the way. And he removes my guilt. Oh, guilt weighs us over. It's so heavy. It bends us over. And do you know that even Satan, with all of his demons, all of his little helpers, Satan can't bring our sins back. They are removed as far as the east is from the west. Forget not this benefit. And it's only because of this great benefit that we have been made children of God, that our sin has been washed away, that all these other blessings are available to us. To have our sins forgiven, it means that we are reconciled with God. It means that we are delivered from hell. It means that we are given eternal life. It means that we are given entrance into heaven. Oh, my iniquities are forgiven. All of my crookedness, all of my twistedness. You see, the human mind, it so easily forgets God's benefits. How easily our mind can remember the hardships. How easily we can remember when somebody is hurtful or ugly to us. And what we're going through, we easily forget the good. We easily forget the benefits. And we remember so well the hard, the difficult. Well, we could say it this way. It's the weakness of human nature. It's the weakness of fallen nature of man. You see, I'm sure you know this. You can do good to somebody. so many good things to them, so many kind things to them. You can give them so much help, but just do one bad thing. Just let them down once only, and they will forget all the good things that you have done, and they will remember the bad thing that you have done. Isn't that us? Isn't that David is saying, don't be like that. Don't remember all the bad things. Remember his benefits. And it's not the answer to remember the bad things. Not the answer at all. Remember all his benefits. And this word benefits, translated here, it means forget not his treatment, the way God treats us, and his acts towards us. And it would also include his disciplines towards us. He disciplines those he loves. And it's not only benefits are not only those things which seem pleasant. No one likes discipline, of course. Oh, while we are enduring it, it's very hard. But it doesn't seem a benefit at all. But it is a benefit. It is a benefit. For afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So yes, it's a benefit. Forget not, David says. Forget not. You see, this psalm is showing us the many fruits of Messiah's work. Glory to God and goodwill to man. We see the Redeemer. We see his gifts. It is a song of the one redeemed and close to the Redeemer's side. Forgiveness is the chief mercy to be celebrated. That is celebrated here with David. He forgives all my iniquities. And then it says, and heals all my diseases. He heals all my diseases. Now, we forget so often to thank God for healing us from bodily diseases. All of us have been sick, or all of us have been injured at one time in our life. And we can testify that God raised us up. He caused health to return. And we should not forget to thank him. Thank him for this grace. We shouldn't take it for granted. Oh, don't say it was just a minor sickness. I'll recover. I don't need God's help. We need God's grace. It's God's grace that our weak bodies are strengthened and healed. It's a benefit. It's a benefit. But while this verse refers to physical healing, it can refer to physical healing, but doubtless, it is speaking very clearly about the one major sickness of mankind, the sickness of the soul. The Lord is the great physician. He is especially the healer of the soul. The patient is the believer. The cause of all sorrow and suffering is sin. And the seat of the disease is the heart of man. So the nature of the sickness that is being described here, it's a terminal sickness. It's a sickness that's too heavy for us. Anguish and pain. It affects the mind. It affects the affections, the conscience, the will, and the whole man. And it affects every man. No one is excused from it. We are all suffering under the consequences of the disease of sin. But here is the comfort. He heals all my diseases. Remember the context of the main disease being addressed is the disease of the soul. Scripture says, let me give you two verses to bring it into the context. Scripture says, I've seen all his ways and I will heal him. God sees all our ways and says, I will heal them. I will heal him. And then think of the scripture, I will heal their backsliding. Backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. My anger has turned away from him. So there's not a single disease, that a disease of the heart, that the Lord, our God, that the Lord, the great physician, he is able to heal it. You know, when you go to a normal doctor, maybe he's got a reputation for being a specialist in this field or in that field. And earthly doctors often are specialists in certain fields. But with the physician of souls, he is the specialist for every condition of the heart. Every condition, every disease, no disease is too advanced. Even if the whole head is sick, even if the whole heart faints, even if you are sick from head to foot, even if you're covered in wounds and bruises and infected sores, of course, this is speaking of the disease of sin that infects all of us. This terrible disease, this disease that's too heavy for us to remove on our own. There's no health or rest in my bones because of my sin. My iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden that's too heavy for me. What does David say? Forget not. Forget not. We have a universal doctor who knows the cure for every condition. Complex and complicated conditions. You can't say, well, my situation is too complicated. No, God knows the cure for the most complex and difficult situations. No condition is beyond him. All it takes is one look at the Lord, and there's a cure. No one is more qualified to heal us. No one else has so much wisdom, so much knowledge. No one else has so much compassion for us, care for us, tender mercies for us. There's no one who understands our sickness like our Savior. No one who knows our misery so deeply. No one who knows the cure for our diseases like he does. What is the medicine? What is the medicine that he offers? What's the cure? Well, we know it's his precious blood that cleanses us from all sin. There is no brokenness, no condition of the heart beyond his cure. No one is so far gone, so lost, so deep in sin that they cannot be cured. And no one is so crooked and twisted that they cannot be cured. He is a specialist. Look how he cured that great persecutor of the church, Saul of Tarsus. Oh, he became Paul, who preached the good news and the gospel. His holy word is another medicine that he gives us. Number one, the blood of his precious blood that cleanses us. Number two, the holy word, scripture. Scripture is the best medicine, and it's for the soul that is sick. There is an answer in Scripture for every problem that we face. Scripture addresses it. Scripture has the answer. It's the best medicine for the soul, the best medicine. And then there is the cure of His blessed Holy Spirit, His power, His manifest presence. The blessed Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, gives life to our mortal bodies and brings renewal and brings wholeness. How does this cure reach us? This cure, how does it reach us? He brings conviction to our hearts. He afflicts us or disciplines us. And He works with His divine energy. Our Lord has never failed to heal any case. All the great physician's patients are completely healed. David was a bad case. Oh, what a bad case David was. What a sad case David was. But David could say, He heals all my diseases. He heals all my diseases. Every sinner is seriously sick, seriously ill. Oh, well, at least I'm not so serious, some people say. I do love the Lord. I'm just a little bit backslidden at the moment, but I still love the Lord. Backslider, you're terribly sick, terribly sick. Do you desire to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Then go to Jesus Christ and He apply to Him. Call on Him like that leper called on Him. The leper said, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. If You are willing, oh Lord, I want to be cleansed. Cleanse me. You see, the leper is a picture of sickness, of sin once again. Its leprosy is compared to sin. So forget not, David is saying. The catalogue is so vast, so vast. Verse 4, we may not be able to cover them all, but at least let's keep highlighting some of them. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. So, foremost, number one, He forgives. He forgives all my twistedness, my brokenness. He healeth my body. He healeth my soul. And now we see He protects, He upholds, and He keepeth me. He redeems my life from destruction. And anybody who has lived on this earth for any length of time can testify. They can look back over their life and say, I know that God has looked after me. I know that God has protected me. If it was not for God, I may even be dead by now. I remember growing up, I had a job at had to drive a big truck through the night over a dangerous mountain path. And I was coming down these steep hills, very sharp corners, and on the edge of the road, hundreds and hundreds of feet of sheer drop. If you lost control and were to go over the edge, it would be certain death. I was being very careful, and I was going around one corner, and as I went around that corner, the back wheel burst of the car, of the truck, and there was a blowout, and I began to spin out of control, and the truck just went closer and closer to the edge and stopped just inches from the sheer drop, which would have been my certain death. Oh, the Lord protected me. His grace, His mercy, His mercy. The Lord redeems our life from destruction. Praise God, He saved me from destruction. Forget not, David says, forget not to thank God for all the things he has done for you, the way he has protected you. I was reading the believers of old, of yesteryear, many of them kept diaries and or journals. And whenever a scripture would touch their heart, they would make a note of it. Whenever God answered a prayer, they'd make a note of it. So they had a journal of prayer requests and prayer answers. And when they were in a dry area in their life, in their walk, when things were difficult, when pressures were on, they would take their old diaries and they would read and remind themselves what the Lord had previously done for them. And they would become encouraged again, and they would remember, God has delivered me so many times. Why should he not deliver me this time? We read in the book of Esther, we know the story, the king of Persia. One night he couldn't sleep. What did he do? He called for the chronicles, the royal chronicles, and he had them read to him. Well, if there's one night when you are very worried, what do? If you haven't got a diary, you go through the pages of your mind and you recall what the Lord has done for you. You recall the goodness of the Lord, and it fills your heart with thankfulness, and it prepares us to pray. And we begin to say, I have a lot to be thankful for. I will praise my Lord. David thanks the Lord. He thanks the Lord. His perversity is forgiven. His sick heart is healed. His body is healed. He thanks God for his safety, God who redeems his life from destruction. And then next, the next way that God treats us is that, and the way which God treated David, he crowns him with loving kindness and mercy. He puts a crown upon our heads, and we receive the riches of God's love, God's kindness, God's tender mercies. David now receives the kindness of God. And what's the opposite? Well, you're either going to receive the kindness of God or the cruelness of Satan. What would you rather have? Oh, I want the kindness of God, not the cruelness of Satan. David now has gone from the misery of sin to receiving the kindness of God, God's kindness. He's no longer a slave in the kingdom of darkness, but he's crowned a prince of light. And every believer, every one of the children of God now lives in tender mercy, loving kindness. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Forget not what he has crowned you with. Verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Or rather, we could say it like this. He fills your soul with good things. He fills our soul. Only the believer knows true satisfaction. The world may offer pleasures. Oh, the world can offer so many pleasures, but it can't offer peace. And it can't offer rest. So many worldly people are full. They've got so much. The best cars, the best houses. But they're not satisfied. They have no peace. No peace. God satisfies the deepest longings of the soul. And when God satisfies the soul, the mouth cannot be silent. Oh, the mouth the heart overflows with God's goodness. The mouth must speak praises to God. Do you know that the Lord, He gives what's truly good, not empty pleasures, not passing toys. He constantly supplies His children with grace, with mercy, with spiritual food. So God being so good to us, shouldn't we always bless Him? Shouldn't we always be praising Him? Forget not, says David. And then it goes on, we must go quickly now to the, as we begin drawing to a close, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Your youth renewed like the eagles. And this means that the Lord restores strength to His people. David had known weakness, weariness, distress, but the Lord raised him up again and renewed him so fully that it was as though a fresh lease of life had been given to him. So the eagle year is a picture of rising strength and power, a strength that soars high above the storm with courage and majesty. And in the same way, the Lord enables His people to rise above trouble, to rise above the storm, not by their own strength, but by His grace, by His mercy. He brings them from spiritual dullness to renewed praise. And this is another reason we say, bless the Lord, O my soul. So we've seen in this first division, the psalm is divided into divisions. And this first division is the psalmist, which is singing of mercies that are personal to him, mercies that he himself had received. In the first five verses, we've seen those mercies. We don't have a time now to look at all the rest of the psalm, but the rest of the psalm is about the attributes of Jehovah, the mighty attributes of Jehovah, His dealings with His people from verse 6 onwards to verse 19. And God willing, another time we shall look at these. But here we see, we've seen a full circle of God's grace. Our sins forgiven, sin's power broken in our lives, regeneration giving us the upper hand against the struggle that we have against sin. And yes, we know we have the upper hand against sin. We know that the power of sin has been smashed and broken in our lives, but there is still the residue of sin within us. And we constantly rely upon the Spirit's grace and empowerment. Its punishment is removed. And then the Lord crowns us with mercy. He satisfies us with good. He renews our strength. He makes His people new as children born into His own household. What can I do but bless Him? What can I do? He's kept nothing back from me. He's given me so much, this catalog of benefits. Therefore, we should keep nothing back from praising Him. We should praise Him with our whole hearts. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of His benefits. Amen.